20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is happening, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for being here today. Quick shout out to Joseph Bell for becoming an all-new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Also, I just want to take a moment. Today, on Monday, on a random Monday at the beginning of March, here is what you are getting from the Pack-A-Day Podcast today. On the audio version of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever you get your favorite audio packet or audio podcast, I should say, Maggie Loney, Andrew Murtagh, and Kyle Fellows did a full recap of the NFL Combine and their key takeaways, and also took a look at the free agent safeties. I am here on the audio version and on the video version talking free agent running backs. Ross Uglum will be here later on Monday doing his mock draft Monday thing. So that will be up later on Monday. And Ross and a special guest are also going to be going through their NFL Combine winners and losers. So an embarrassment of riches of content. This is awesome, awesome stuff. Maggie, Andrew, Kyle do a tremendous job every single week. Of course, you're getting some free agent stuff, some NFL Combine stuff, some mock draft stuff, just a ton of stuff. So if you've not already, first of all, make sure to check all the great content out every single day. Subscribe, like, comment. We are putting out this all for your enjoyment. We hope that you are loving it, but make sure you are subscribed, again, liking, doing those five-star reviews and doing everything you can. Everyone on the team is doing such amazing work, especially in the off season with all the amazing stuff that's going on. So just wanted to shout out all the amazing people who are doing so much work. And of course, 365 days a year. So check it out every single day. Before I jump into my main topic for today, I just want to, shout out in a way, Chris Mortensen for a incredible, incredible Hall of Fame career. Chris Mortensen passed away on Sunday. Devastated to hear about it. Somebody that is, you know, one of those people that sort of in a roundabout way, like shapes my, at least my like NFL childhood. I mean, obviously before the realm of X and Twitter, heck, even before like really you like ESPN on the internet and going to like find what's happening on websites, you know, Chris Mortensen is on SportsCenter with all the breaking news and all the trade rumors and all the, like just all of it. And like, it was to the point where, you know, he was such a main character on all the ESPN programming, because when Mortensen came on, like that was your lifeline for anything that could be happening in the NFL. And, you know, today we get Rappaport and Schefter and, you know, all of these different people that are breaking news, and it's constant on Twitter, and you get all these rumors and everything else going on. But growing up, it was so much Chris Mortensen. And again, you hung on every word waiting to see what he was going to say, because again, this was the way that you received your, you know, rumor mill was through him. And obviously such a consummate professional. Nobody had ever anything but extreme positive things to say about him. I unfortunately never obviously got the opportunity to meet him, but rest in peace to Chris. What an unbelievable, amazing career. And certainly will be missed. I know he hasn't been on as much. I know he was dealing with some health issues, but still devastating to hear. And again, may he rest in peace. Unfortunately, too many of these lately. And as I always say, there's no easy way to transition off of something like that into your main topic for the day. But we do have a full topic to get to. So let's go into the Green Bay Packers running back free agency options. If you missed my episode last week on the safeties, we did a deep dive into all the safety options. Today, we are going to do the exact same thing, but with the running backs. And let's start off by going over the Packers' current running back position and what they currently have listed on the roster. Aaron Jones, currently on the roster. Now, there was obviously all of that hullabaloo on Friday of what was going to happen with Aaron Jones. As I went over in great detail in that episode, I fully expect Aaron Jones to be back in some capacity. It's one of those things where you can't say with 100% certainty, but it would be pretty shocking to me if he's not back. So as of right now, I don't know that I can like Sharpie it in, but I am easily penciling it in and getting closer and closer to doing some permanent ink to Aaron Jones as, you know, back with the team in 2024. AJ Dillon, per Tom Silverstein in that same article, it sounds like the Packers are not expected to bring AJ Dillon back this upcoming season. If you've been listening to me, that is not a overall surprise to me. I do think it's probably time to go in another direction, but he is an unrestricted free agent. Patrick Taylor is a restricted free agent. There is 0.0% chance that they tender him a restricted free agent offer because it is far more money, over $2 million per year, for a running back that would not get that on the open market. So they will not tender him a restricted free agent offer, which will then make him an unrestricted free agent. It wouldn't surprise me or shock me if Patrick Taylor got back on a one-year vet minimum deal because he knows the offense. He's really good in pass pro. He's an okay, solid, non-spectacular running back. But you're basically to the point with Patrick Taylor, and I talk about this all the time. If you are a player in the NFL, you know, the NFL is constantly evaluating you for upside. This is a NFL that is made up of stars and big-time players. And obviously you need your role players as well. And Patrick Taylor is a nice role player. However, you're looking to upgrade that and get a playmaker at that position. And we've seen enough of Patrick Taylor, as good and as nice of a player that he is, he's never going to be a star. He's never going to be a playmaker. That's just not who he is. This is more, at this stage of Patrick Taylor's career, a back of the roster slash more likely practice squad type player. And if you can get him back in that role, that's great. But you're likely looking for younger running backs with fresh legs on cheaper contracts with, you know, more upside than what Patrick Taylor brings to the table. Have no issue with Green Bay bringing him back on some sort of vet minimum deal. I really like Patrick Taylor. It may seem like I'm saying the opposite. I actually really like what he brings to the table. And from a pass pro standpoint, and just going in, like, so many times if you need a running back in a 2-minute offense, that's not always the easiest thing to find because they have to be able to run the ball, they have to be able to catch the ball, and more importantly, they need to be able to pass protect. And Patrick Taylor can do all three of those things in this offense. But the point being here, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, and you're not making any offseason decisions based solely upon Patrick Taylor being on the roster or not being on the roster. If he is, he's going to have to earn everything in training camp anyway. Emmanuel Wilson is an exclusive rights free agent. He will be back. Again, that is a team option. There's really no rights for Emmanuel Wilson in this situation. Green Bay will get him back on the cheapest contract possible, and they will have him compete in training camp. And then if you remember, they also have Ellis Merriweather on the roster. So as of right now, we can pencil in Aaron Jones, Emmanuel Wilson, and Ellis Merriweather, and that's about it. And we also know that Jones is getting older. He had some injury issues last year. And we know that Green Bay needs to add some youth, some talent, some athleticism, some playmaking to this running back room, specifically to back up Aaron Jones in 2024. Before we go through today's possible veteran signings, I have one running back, and I'll tell you who it is at the end, that I am going to recommend that the Packers sign in free agency if they want to go that route. Lock your answers in right now. If you can guess who the running back is that I am, requesting or, saying that the Packers should sign in 2024 in this offseason, I'll be impressed. So lock in your answer before we get started. But I'm going to start just obviously going down the list of potential running backs that could make sense in Green Bay. It is not as long as a list as the safety list was last week, but we'll go through them one by one, go over some of the pros and cons and what they could potentially bring to the table with all of these statistics and stuff that we did through the safety position as well. So number one on that list, clearly and obviously, is Saquon Barkley. 6 foot, 232 pound from running back from the New York Giants, just turned 27 years old. So he has been in the league for a while. It feels like almost longer than that, but only 27. Now for a running back, this is not usually your, even 31, 32 years anymore. Even when you start getting to 27, 28, 29, not everyone is Aaron Jones. Not everyone is able to continue on that long. We have seen Saquon start to break down a little bit, really almost since day one. He's had injury issues, but he still only is going 27 years old. And again, just turned 27 years old. Was a first round pick, second overall in the 2018 NFL draft. Had a 9.97 relative athletic score coming out of college. His projected contract per PFF, 3 years, $36.75 million, $12.25 million per year. His PFF grades over the last 3 years, most recently a 70.2 grade, 80.3, and 59.1 the year before that. In 2023, he had 247 rushing attempts for 962 yards, only a 3.6 yards per carry average, 6 touchdowns, 41 receptions, 280 yards, 6.8 yards per catch, 4 touchdowns receiving, and 2 fumbles. So 10 total touchdowns, 2 fumbles. His elusive rating per PFF was 37.4. That ranked him 31st out of 35 eligible running backs. He had 26 runs of 10-plus yards, ranking him 11th out of 35 eligible running backs. He forced 31 missed tackles, which was 27th out of 35, and 2.91 yards after contact per rush, which was 15th out of 35. In his career, he was Offensive Rookie of the Year as a rookie and only a two-time Pro Bowler. I say only because I was expecting more than that, but only a two-time Pro Bowler, never on the All-Pro list, either first team or second team. His fit with the Packers is interesting. I've said this before, and I listed him on my initial, you know, sort of breakdown of potential or free agent signings for the Packers this offseason. I really do like the idea of Saquon Barkley and Aaron Jones as a 1-2 punch in Green Bay. I don't think anyone, you know, set the salary aside for a second. I don't think anyone's going to be like, no, that sounds terrible. It sounds really fun. I think you end up in a situation where you know, both of those guys have, you know, at this point in their career, probably not going to be 25 a carry a game guys. Neither of them are probably going to last for 17 games through the course of a regular season. And your hope is that you can have one of those guys healthy and being able to carry 18 to 20 times and have explosive playmaking. We saw the difference last year in Green Bay with Aaron Jones and without Aaron Jones. And the difference was night and day. And if you go into a game, first of all, with Saquon Barkley and Aaron Jones, and both of them are healthy, now you have two dynamic running backs that are going to give you a ton of playmaking ability that are both going to keep the other one fresh. As I've always talked about a little bit with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, I think sometimes you can end up in a situation where the presence of both almost doesn't allow either to get into a rhythm. So you would need to really balance that out a little bit. I don't know how a, you know, quote unquote pony package or two running back set with Jones and Saquon would work. It's not like Saquon is going to lead block for Aaron Jones like A.J. Dillon did on occasion. I do think Saquon gives them a more interesting receiving option along with Aaron Jones. So you could line both of them out wide and maybe create a few more mismatches that way. But you could definitely, without question, get both of them on the same field at the same time. It just might not be the most perfect situation, just like Dillon and Jones wasn't. I do think it's interesting that the Packers were interested in Jonathan Taylor just a season ago. Not only interested in Jonathan Taylor, not like he was a free agent, but willing to give up capital to trade for Jonathan Taylor and then give him a huge contract as well. I think there was probably a piece of Brian Gutekunst that wanted to protect Jordan Love with that idea a little bit of like, hey, we've got a first-time starting quarterback. We've got a extremely young wide receiver and tight end core. Like, can we give him a couple good running backs to maybe make his life a little bit easier as he goes from this transition from backup to starter? And now that he's seen Jordan Love, he probably doesn't feel the need quite as much to go out and get that next running back because he has a lot of weapons on offense. He does have Aaron Jones still. And now he knows he has a quarterback in Jordan Love that can go out without, Aaron Jones in some of those games. He still went out and competed at a very high level. So maybe he doesn't feel like he needs those training wheels quite as much. But Jonathan Taylor, they still had that interest in him, and going after a Saquon Barkley, who is not an exact apples to apples replica of Jonathan Taylor by any means, but brings a lot of the same playmaking dynamic to the table, could make some sense if they still wanted that player. And in this scenario, they don't have to actually give up capital to trade for him either. They can just go get him in free agency. I think the big thing here overall, when we're talking about Saquon Barkley, is just allocation of resources. Even if he is 3 years, $36 million, $12 million per year, somewhere in that range, that's still $12 million that you could potentially go out and sign Xavier McKinney. That's $12 million that you could maybe go out and sign Frankie Louvu and a Jordan Fuller combined. That's $12 million per year that you could go out and sign a variety of different free agents. Do you want to use that on a running back that would be a 1-2 combo alongside Aaron Jones? Maybe the answer is yes. Maybe they feel like, hey, we have a really cheap wide receiver core. We have a really cheap tight end core. Our offensive line isn't overpriced as soon as they likely release David Bakhtiari. Like, Jordan Love has probably not hit that huge contract yet, meaning I think his big years are going to be down the road, not in 2024. I think he likely stays around where he's at right now. Like, so they could look at their offensive, you know, overall allocation of resources and say, hey, we actually have money to go out and spend on running back if you look from an offensive standpoint because of where every other position is. But I would still argue there are better ways to spend that money throughout the rest of the team. to make a more balanced team and specifically just build a better defense when this offense is already really, really good. So I think that's the toughest sell with Saquon Barkley, isn't his talent, isn't that he's like on a severe decline, isn't that he's had too many, you know, carries in his career, not that he wouldn't make a good tandem with Aaron Jones. It's just, is that again where you want to allocate those resources? And my argument would be no. Next up on the list, Josh Jacobs, running back for the Raiders, 5'10", 223 pounds, just turned 26 years old. This is another one where I just kind of expected him to be older at this point, but just turned 26. First round pick in 2019, had a 5.65 relative athletic score coming out of college. His projected contract per PFF, 3 years, $34.5 million, $11.5 million per year. His PFF grades the past three seasons, 65.0, 91.6, and 79.5. In 2023, he had 233 carries, 805 yards, 3.5 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns, 37 catches, 296 yards, 8 yards per reception, no touchdowns, and 3 fumbles. These are the big concerning points for Josh Jacobs. On PFF's elusive rating, 35th out of 35th with a 32.2 rating. 9 runs of 10-plus yards, 32nd out of 35 eligible running backs. 28 missed tackles forced, 32nd out of 35 eligible running backs. 2.35 yards after contact per attempt, 35th out of 35th of eligible running backs. Now, he is a two-time Pro Bowler. He's a one-time first-team All-Pro. But the big thing here with Jacobs is he has shown pretty significant signs of decline, specifically this past season. By far and away, the worst season of his career. I do think there's a little bit more wear and tear there and some injuries being banged up a little bit. He didn't have a great situation. A lot of Aiden O'Connell, obviously Josh McDaniel at head coach, that did not work out. They go through the coaching change midseason. That was not a great situation to be in overall for the Raiders, but that was still a sort of eye-popping decline for Josh Jacobs. This is one thing based on his previous experience. If you're looking at, hey, this guy is like going to be cheap on the market because he might be hitting this decline a little bit and we might be able to get sort of a value signing and hope he can bounce back and play like he did with that 91.6 PFF grade just the season before. But if you're looking at somebody that you're going to have to give $11.5 million per year on a three-year deal, $34.5 million overall, that is not a value free agent signing. This, to me, the ROI is just horrible. This would be the worst possible signing that I think Green Bay could pretty much have almost anywhere. A expensive running back that has shown significant signs of decline, that's coming off the worst season of his career, and a position that is of need, but probably not at the high end level because you do still have Aaron Jones on the roster. I just cannot see this fit. You know, obviously he did play with Rich Bisaccia when Rich Bisaccia was the interim head coach there. There's a small connection. Just cannot see Josh Jacobs happening in Green Bay. Next up, Derrick Henry, 6'3", 247 pounds, Tennessee Titans, turned 30 in January. So that not so magic number for running backs, he has hit it. And as you would expect, I think there's going to be some concern from teams, especially with the amount of carries and the amount of wear and tear that he's at the running back position, of just how much longer he's going to be able to do this at a high level. He was a second round pick in 2016, had an 8.77 relative athletic score coming out of college. His projected contract, 2 years, $20 million, $10 million per season. His PFF grade last season was a 90.2, still a very, very good running back. 85.9 the year before that, 77.3 the year before that. This past year, he had 280 carries for 1,167 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, 12 touchdowns, 28 catches, 214 yards, 7.6 yards per reception, no touchdowns receiving, no fumbles, had a 64.7 elusive rating, 11th out of 35, 23 runs of 10 plus yards, 16th, 57 missed tackles forced, 4th out of 35 eligible running backs, and 3.32 yards after contact per attempt, 6th out of 35 eligible running backs. He's a four-time Pro Bowler, a one-time first-team All-Pro, a one-time second-team All-Pro, has a connection with Matt LaFleur from when Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator, although he didn't always play Derrick Henry a ton, which was sort of interesting that season, but there is that connection there. Brian Gutekunst just went on record to say he would love a power back. Well, doesn't get much more power back than Derrick Henry. I do think he fits overall well in the offense. And again, he has worked in a Matt LaFleur offense with Matt LaFleur when they were together in Tennessee. The age is an issue. Is it necessary? Is it overkill? Again, with what you're looking at and that allocation of resources, same sort of situation here. 30 years old is probably the biggest turnoff for me, though. I just think you get to a point where these declines happen fast. And even though he had a 90 plus PFF grade last year, and let's be real, a not great situation. We talk about Josh Jacobs not being in a great situation. Saquon Barkley was not in a great situation. Even Daniel Jones is not a great situation, but Daniel Jones was out injured. So like both of those guys, not great. Derrick Henry, not great situation. Will Levis comes in as a rookie. Like they were in a really bad spot last year, and Derrick Henry still performed at a high level. I would like this so much more than probably where Saquon would come in from a price standpoint, and certainly way more than Josh Jacobs. I do think that you end up with this Jones, Derrick Henry situation that, again, neither of them would have to carry the heavy lifting, the heavy burden. They could both kind of play off of each other. It still feels a little bit like me to me, like, I don't know that you need that. That would be like if you had a surplus $100 million free agent money to spend, and you're like, I don't know, might as well go get Derrick Henry, sure. But we know Green Bay is going to have limited resources, and I would still probably take that $10 million per year over the next 2 years and allocate that to better positions that would maybe make a little bit more sense. Next up, Tony Pollard, 6'2", 209 running back for the Cowboys, turns 27 in April, fourth round pick in 2019, 7.18 relative athletic score coming out. His projected contract is 3 years, $24 million, $8 million per season. PFF grade last year of 77.5, 90.2 the year before that, and 86.0 the year before that. He did have struggles with injuries early in the season and did play better when he got healthy at the end of the year. That PFF grade would have been higher if you just take the weeks that he was healthy at the end of the year, but still was a 77.5 last year. Had 252 carries for 1,005 yards, 4 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns, 55 catches, 311 yards, only 5.7 yards per reception, which is really low. No touchdowns receiving and 3 overall fumbles. His elusive rating was 26th out of 35 eligible running backs. He had 22 runs of 10 plus yards, which was 20th out of 35. 47 missed tackles forced, though, which was 11th out of 35. And 2.86 yards after contact per attempt, which was 22nd out of 35. He is a one-time Pro Bowler. The issue here is he's probably pretty redundant with Aaron Jones. They're kind of similar players, a little bit smaller, very dynamic, very shifty, great with the ball in their hands. $8 million per year, still a pretty significant contract. I don't know that you can do a ton with Pollard and Jones on the field at the same time. You could get Pollard lined out wide, but that, it's not like, again, you've got a Christian McCaffrey who, like, you've got as good of a receiver as he is a running back. So I don't think you have that, but you do have a dynamic player with the ball in his hands. You do have now insurance for Aaron Jones. If Jones is out, you've got Pollard. If Pollard is out, you've got Jones. But that's probably still a pretty pricey insurance policy. And I think there's probably just a better demand for Pollard to be the guy for some other team. And some other team is probably just going to be willing to pay him more than what Green Bay is willing to pay him. Next up, Austin Eckler, 5'10", 200-pound running back from your LA Chargers. Not your LA Chargers, but the LA Chargers. Turns 29 in May. Undrafted free agent in 2017. Did not have a relative athletic score. Did not do the testing. 2 years, $13.5 million is the projected contract. $6.75 million per year. PFF grades over the last 3 years of 60.2, 80.0, and 75.3. Last year, he had 179 carries for 628 yards, only 3.5 yards per carry, 0.7 worse than at any point in his career. 5 touchdowns this past year rushing, 51 catches, 436 yards, did have 8.5 yards per reception, 1 touchdown, did have 5 overall fumbles this past year. His elusive rating was 22nd out of 35 backs, 7 runs of 10 plus yards was 35 out of 35, 31 missed tackles forced was 27 out of 35, and 2.63 yards after contact per attempt was 29 out of 35. Most shockingly of everything, he never won an award. No Pro Bowl, no All-Pro, no anything, which was a little bit surprising to me. Obviously, a lot of great fantasy football years, but was kind of expecting him to at least have a Pro Bowl or two, but never did. Once again, with Eckler, you're redundant to Aaron Jones a little bit. Not probably great running mates on the field at the same time. Do have a little bit of insurance there. What we have seen out of Eckler is injury issues and a pretty significant decline. Would give Green Bay a pretty nice receiving threat. I do think there are some situations where you could put Jones in the backfield and Eckler in the slot. I don't know how much, again, value overall there is with that, especially at $6.75 million per year. Once again, same as we've been talking about, don't need a full workload with Jones, don't need a full workload with Eckler. They could complement each other that way. Don't necessarily see this happening. And again, we heard Goody say they want a power back. Do still think they want to get younger at the position, Going with somebody who turns 29 in May and has shown those signs of decline, probably not the way that Goody goes, in my opinion. Next up, DeAndre Swift, 5'9", 215-pound running back from the Philadelphia Eagles, turned 25 only in January. So this is one of those ones where at least you get somebody a little bit younger here if you want to go in this direction. Was a second-round pick in 2020, 7.56 relative athletic score coming out. 3 years, $18.75 million is the projected contract here, $6.25 million per year. PFF grades of 66.5, 78.1, and 58.0 over the last three seasons. Last year, he had 229 carries for the Eagles for 1,049 yards rushing, 4.6 yards per carry, which is really good. The Eagles do have a very good offensive line, though. Had five rushing touchdowns, 39 receptions, 214 yards, 5.5 yards per reception, one touchdown receiving, three fumbles. His elusive rating was 23rd out of 35, 23 runs of 10 plus yards was 16 out of 35, 45 missed tackles forced was 15 out of 35, and 2.44 yards after contact per attempt was 34 out of 35. Was a one-time Pro Bowler, which was this past year. I want to go back to that yards per contact per attempt, though. Remember when I told you that the Eagles had a great offensive line? Well, him ranking 34th out of 35th as yards after contact tells you a lot of his success was due to that Eagles offensive line. A lot of his success was not coming after contact. So that is something to be aware of. If you don't have a supercharged Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, I'm not sure DeAndre Swift is going to be quite as good for you based on some of the numbers that he put up last year. He did show off that he could be a full-time back in Philly after not really ever doing that in Detroit. I don't think he'd be a bad option for the cost. $6.25 million per year is still a big contract, especially on a three-year deal, especially for a running back. But at age 25, for a player that showed he could handle the load, he's got a little bit of dynamic ability in his game, can catch the ball a little bit. I don't think this is a terrible option. You know, never really has lived up to the hype since being a second-round pick with the Lions. And while, again, he had a nice year last year with the Eagles, I do think a lot of that is the overall offensive line. I think he's a solid 1-2 punch with Aaron Jones, but it's not something, again, that's like striking the fear in anyone, meaning DeAndre Swift, you know, coming in for Aaron Jones. But in my opinion, it'd be a pretty big upgrade from AJ Dillon. This is another one where, based on his season last year, I think there are other teams in need of a starting running back that are probably just willing to pay a little bit more for DeAndre Swift than what the Packers would be willing to pay. This is where the cutoff is. DeAndre Swift, Austin Ekeler, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, and Saquon Barkley are the running backs that are likely to get paid a decent amount of money in some capacity. After that group, you go down pretty significantly with what you're expecting here. Next on the list is J.K. Dobbins, 5'10", 250-pound running back for the Ravens, turns 26 in December, was a second-round pick in 2020, did not have a relative athletic score coming out, did not do the testing. The projected contract for J.K. Dobbins, 1 year, $2 million. Why is that? Well, he only had 20 snaps last year. He only had 235 snaps in 2022, and he did not play in 2021. He only has 265 snaps total in the past three seasons combined. This is a running back who has been massively, massively injured. Now, in 2020, as a rookie, he had 134 attempts, 805 yards, 6 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns, 18 catches for 120 yards, 6.7 yards per reception, and 2 fumbles. In 2020, if you would have taken those like elusive scores and things like that and translated it over to 2023, he would have ranked 9th out of 35th in elusive score, 20 out of 35 in runs over 10 yards, 32nd out of 35 in missed tackles forced, and 3rd out of 35 in yards after contact. The issue is this is not 2020. 21, 22, 23 have all gone by, and J.K. Dobbins has done nothing. He had injury issues coming out of college. He's had injury issues in the NFL, and he has not shown the ability to stay healthy. If you want to take a one-year, $2 million flyer on a player like J.K. Dobbins, who does have a little bit of power to his game, he's not a great receiving back, you could do that. That's not the worst case scenario in the world. You can make him earn a spot in camp and give him that opportunity. Maybe he just resigns with Baltimore. Don't mind the flyer here. I was never a huge J.K. Dobbins guy coming out of college, but the injury issues are the turnoff here. And this is why you go with young running backs with fresh legs. It's because a lot of times these guys get hurt pretty quickly, and Dobbins just has not shown the ability to stay healthy. Next up, we talked about this player already. It is not expected that the Packers re-sign A.J. Dillon, but let's go over him anyway. If nothing else, it gives us a good sort of barometer for what he did last year. And if they did want to bring him back, again, how he kind of compares to the other players on this list. 6 foot, 247-pound running back for your Green Bay Packers, I can say that this time, turns 26 in May, second-round pick, of course, in 2020, had a 9.15 relative athletic score coming out of college. The projected contract, 2 years, $8 million, $4 million per year. PFF grades, very complimentary of him, 75.7, 81.4, and 86.2. So PFF has liked him quite a bit over the past three seasons. Now, last year, not quite as much, but still good grades all around. In 2023, he had 178 carries, 613 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, which is not great. Two touchdowns rushing, 22 receptions, 223 yards, 10.1 yards per catch, which is great. No touchdowns, no fumbles, which is really, really nice. His elusive rating, though, ranked 27th out of 35. Only 8 runs of 10-plus yards, 33 out of 35. 21 missed tackles forced, 35th out of 35. 2.69 yards after contact per attempt, 27th out of 35. The advanced metrics here, really, really bad for A.J. Dillon. Has not won any awards, lacks playmaking. His pass pro is great. You do have to give him that. And it does just seem here like Green Bay wants to go in a different direction. I think it's time to go in a different direction, which I've covered on multiple episodes, so not going to go into it here. But you can see why. Those advanced analytics, the elusive rating, the 10-plus rushing yards, the missed tackles forced, the yards after contact. For a power back, he has not shown the ability to sort of be a power back. His short yardage situations have not been good. But pass protection, something. The ability to, you know, run the ball with some level of consistency, even if it's a lot of it's blocked up, is still there. Can catch the ball okay out of the backfield. He's just kind of okay at everything, not great at anything. And I think that's ultimately why Green Bay wants to go in a different direction here. All right, three more running backs to go through really quick. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 5'7", 207, turns 25 in April, first-round pick in 2020, had a 5.42 relative athletic score, projected contract 1 year, $1.7 million, 65.5 PFF score this year. Prior to that, 67.6 and 65.6, so very steady there for Edwards-Helaire. 70 carries, 223 yards last year for only 3.2 yards per carry, one rushing touchdown. Did have 17 catches for 188 yards, one touchdown, and 11.1 yards per reception. No fumbles. He did not qualify for the elusive rating in all of these metrics, but if he did, he would have been 19th out of 35th with elusive rating, 35 out of 35 in 10-plus rushing yards. Or attempts that went for 10 or more yards, 35th out of 35th in missed tackles forced, and would have been 31st out of 35 in yards after contact per attempt. So the advanced metrics, not great. The big thing here is he just never found a role in KC, and they were searching for guys who could be dynamic playmaker ball with, you know, in their hands, especially, you know, through parts of last year where their receivers were letting them down and they were looking for answers. And Edwards-Helaire really never provided that despite being a first round pick for them. He could never really get in the rotation, lost out to Isaiah Pacheco, lost out to Jerick McKinnon. It just did not go great. Maybe he just needs a change of scenery. Probably not the size that Green Bay's looking for or the athleticism that Green Bay's looking for. I just don't see it. Again, maybe you just want to see if a change of scenery does something different for him. There was a lot of hype for him coming out of college, but my guess is Green Bay probably goes in a different direction there as well. Next up is Deontay Foreman, 6 foot, 235 running back for the Chicago Bears, turns 28 in April, was a third round pick in 2017, 7.82 relative athletic score coming out, projected contract 1 year, $3.1 million. PFF grades over the last 3 years, 74, 73.1, and 72.1. So again, very consistent here. Last year, he had 109 carries for 425 yards, 3.9 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns rushing, 11 catches, 77 yards, 1 receiving touchdown, 7 yards per reception, and 1 fumble. Again, did not qualify here, but would have been 18th out of 35th in elusive rating, 32nd out of 35 in rushing attempts of 10-plus yards, 35th out of 35th in missed tackles forced, and 2.75 yards after contact per attempt would have ranked 26 out of 35. Now, like some of the other running backs, did not have a great situation in Chicago. One, their line was bad. Two, their offense was bad. Three, he was kind of stuck in a rotation with multiple running backs. He's never been a great blocking back, which is a huge issue. Does bring that power that they're looking for, and only has 631 career rushing attempts. So that, 631 career rushing attempts, which is nice. Again, Chicago was not a great situation. could be a cheap option that actually pairs kind of well with Aaron Jones. $3.1 million would be a little bit too rich for my blood, but if that got down to like $1.5 million, I'd be pretty intrigued, actually. I think he'd be a little bit more of a power combo for Jones, and I actually think he'd be a little bit better than what A.J. Dillon was. I think ideally here, you're still looking for something a little bit more dynamic, and the lack of pass protection, not knowing the offense, to me, you're probably just better off bringing A.J. Dillon back than going with Foreman. But again, if the price was right, I would not hate it. Last but not least, my one running back that I would potentially see maybe Green Bay going with, and would certainly be more excited if Green Bay went with, is Antonio Gibson, running back for the Washington Commanders. 6'2", 220 pounds, great size, turns 26 in June, was a third round pick in 2020, 9.29 relative athletic score coming out of college. Projected contract is 1 year, $3.6 million. 66.6 PFF grade last year, 76.3 the year before that, and 63.3 the year before that. This past year, he had 65 carries for 265 yards, 4.1 yards per carry, one touchdown, 48 catches, a lot of catches, 389 yards, two touchdowns, 8.1 yards per reception, did have four fumbles, which is an issue for him. He had an 86.9 elusive rating, which, if he qualified, would have been fifth out of 35 running backs. Only five carries of 10 plus yards, but remember, he only had 65 carries total. It would have ranked 35th out of 35th, but just didn't get a ton of carries. 16 missed tackles forced, which again would have ranked 35th, but only 65 carries on the season, but had 3.51 yards after contact per attempt, which again, if he qualified, would have been second out of 35 running backs, ahead of guys like Bijan Robinson. Fumbles were an issue. I thought throughout his entire career, Washington used him terribly. This was a wide receiver out of the University of Memphis, or Memphis University, I forget which one it is, but he made the transition to running back, and they never really used his receiving ability as like actually like lining him out wide all that much. When given the opportunity, he caught the ball well and actually showed the ability to get open downfield from time to time as well. He's got kick returner ability, only 642 carries in his entire career. He's still only 26 years old, not a ton of wear and tear, should be very inexpensive. He's improved greatly in his pass protection. I think he has so much more ability than he ever reached in Washington as a pass catcher, hit all the athletic thresholds that Brian Gutekunst loves. And again, those 86.9 elusive rating and 3.51 yards after contact per attempt are extremely good grades, albeit in a very limited sample size. But this is the player to me. If you're looking for a mix of athleticism, some playmaking, catching out of the backfield, good size, good strength, he's kind of got it all, plus a cheap contract. This is the guy that I would recommend going with. This is the guy I would be hopeful to see. My ultimate prediction here is the free agent running back class, the value just isn't there. I think other teams are going to be willing to spend more than what Green Bay is willing to spend. You've got a pretty big contract set up already in Aaron Jones. Even if they fix that a little bit, it's still going to be a pretty high cap hit just for him. I don't think they're going to want to go out and spend a ton of money at that position. And I think this is a position that ideally over the years, you want to build through later rounds in the draft. I've said if I were Green Bay, I would do the triple up, grab a guy in the fourth or third round, grab a guy in the fifth or sixth round, grab a guy in the sixth or the seventh round, and let them compete. We know Jones is going to get a spot, but let those three guys compete with Emmanuel Wilson. Keep three overall, Jones and two of the other guys, and may the best man win. And hopefully you hit on somebody that can be the long-term replacement for Aaron Jones. But if they did go the free agent route, Antonio Gibson would be the guy that I think, based on price, ability, Washington just using him horribly, and hopefully he gets better with a change of scenery. That's the guy that I think could make the most sense for the Green Bay Packers. If you hit that right in your prediction, well done. Congratulations. The running back again, Gibson, the ones that I went through today that I would not be as inclined to go with: Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Dante Foreman. The one I was a little bit more inclined with, of course, Antonio Gibson. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be right back here tomorrow with an all-new episode. And of course, Ross has got two episodes later today. Andrew, Kyle, Maggie over on the audio episode. Make sure to check all of those out. Like, subscribe, comment, check out those Packaday YouTube memberships. Shout out to Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Brad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, and Bremen. Appreciate you guys a ton for being Pack-A-Day Podcast Hall of Fame and All-Pro members. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.